everybody to the briefing session in advance of the December Council meeting. As always, I want to just take a moment to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land Bassendean is founded on, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, and to acknowledge their contribution not only to our history but to our present and our future. I also want to remind people that this session is recorded and streamed so that everything is available publicly on the internet, and also to remind councillors that the purpose of the session is for us to ask questions, not for debate or decision making. So, attendances and apologies. We've had an apology from Councillor Giles Wilson. Is there anybody else? We haven't had any deputation requests. Item 4 is declarations of interest. Are there any from staff or councillors? Nope. Addresses by members of the public. We don't have anyone joining us here physically today, so we'll move on to item 6, which is reports. Item 6.1, which is the amended delegation arrangements to respond to subdivision applications involving lots that comply with WAPC Development Control Policy 2.2. Are there any questions for the staff on that item?
I can see it.
Happy? Okay, everyone's happy. We'll move on to item 6.2. This is proposed third-party signage on payphone facility adjacent to the Bassendean Hotel.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I'm just a little bit unsure reading through the report. Does Council have the option to refuse? So when I say refuse, basically have the existing payphone removed and not this new-aged one that they're referring to installed. Do we have that option?
So you say reject it completely and say we don't want it in our town no matter where the location?
Yes. So that's correct. So I'm just wondering if we have that option.
So I suppose Council has got the authority to refuse the application in as much as third party advertising with it. The other thing, I suppose, if Council's on the mind to do, is to negotiate for this new facility to go in where the existing facility is.
I do have further questions. Can I ask then the other payphone that's of particular nuisance in the town is in Ashfield? Is there any plans for them to look at doing similar in Ashfield?
Not that I'm aware of, and I wouldn't think this would run out to Ashfield. I think they're really looking for places of high pedestrian.
So thank you. So my final one is more of just of a. I suppose a quick comment. My understanding was we looked at this some years ago and Council resolved to move or endeavour to advocate for the moving of payphones to the train stations where they're more adequately secured. Oh, look at that. Flashing underneath me. How exciting. I got that effect. More adequately secured. Is that an option as well? Because obviously there's a lot of people centralising train stations and stuff.
Not sure whether or not they would put the payphone there. I do recall there was an issue about removing the phone boxes for the phone facilities, and at the end of the day, Telstra decided that they would not relocate the facilities.
Mr. Cardy had something to add.
Oh, sorry, I was just talking to Mike, see if you can turn that off.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Gander, can I just clarify? You're saying previously when Council discussed the payphones, you suggested there were some concerns around it. Can you just clarify?
So it's going back quite a number of years now, but there was an issue that came up with payphones. So it was largely to do with the payphone on Coulston Road being used allegedly predominantly for drug trafficking. So people get on the payphone, I'm here, they drop off the drugs, they go. We asked Telstra to remove the payphone from Ashfield and then relocate the payphone to the train station where it's more secure and there's cameras and stuff available there. At that stage, my understanding was it was the previous federal government, I think that's how long ago it was, they had said they had stopped the removal of pay phones because there was still a requirement to have pay phones in the community. So I just figured this may be an opportunity just to see if we can perhaps get it back or look at alternative areas like the train stations and the like where it's more central for community.
Councillor Brown.
Thank you. Is it possible to get a description or a picture of this new payphone? Because it's not just a payphone, it's a Wi-Fi centre and a charging centre for mobile phones.
There's a picture in the attachments, Councillor
Brown. There is?
Mm-hmm. Is there? It's not a very clear one, but there is a diagrammatic. Clear it over.
Following you, this report.
Second.
Following you, this report.
There you go.
Okay.
Can I just get some clarification? So they're basically asking about location and support for the advertising. But in the report it said a digital screen partially available for the council's digital content. So then you mentioned negotiating. I'm not really sure how that works. So obviously some of it would be advertising that they're getting money from to pay for the service, and then we would have a set percentage, I imagine, of time that we could put our own information on. Is that correct?
So my understanding is the front screen could be used for council purposes some of the time.
Yeah.
That's mainly for the more Telstra products, where the back screen, the larger screen, is just for commercial advertising.
Right. And I imagine that if we weren't supportive of the third-party advertising, then it may not be financially viable for them to install it.
Yes, and I would have thought that if it didn't have the third-party advertising, it wouldn't happen.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
You mentioned that there would be some ability for the town to do advertising. Is that at a cost to us or not?
I need to take that question on notice.
That would be great if we could know that for the council meeting. Anything further, councillors?
Yes, what is our street advertising policy?
I would say that we don't really have a street advertising policy. Pardon?
A local law.
Are you able to elaborate? It's just your Dawkins? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yes, we have a local law which describes the types of signage that can be placed within the thoroughfare. And so there are certain types of signs which are like the A-frame signs that people can place out the front of their businesses, and as long as it's not interfering with the public access, then and they're transported back into their property at the end of the day, those signs can be those A-frame signs are permitted. But a sign of this nature would just be issued like a permit, advising people that they are permitted to put a sign at or some type of structure within the thoroughfare.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Councillor Gangell mentioned about potentially negotiating with Telstra to move it over to the other side of the train station.
I think it was to the train
station. To the train station.
To the train station.
Yeah.
So do Telstra have to put it on, like, council land, like a road reserve, footpath, what have you, or can they put it on PTA land?
Okay.
That's a question I need to address prior to the council meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that all for this item? So item 6.3, station access, cycle and pedestrian upgrade for Broadway. I noticed in the report that there was a walkthrough for residents. I may well have missed it, but was this something that councillors were made aware of as well? There was a walkthrough?
I believe in the bulletin the week prior to it, the letter that was sent to the residents that offered the walkthrough, it was in that.
I thought it was probably that I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Councillor Gangell?
Yes, I don't think, just to my recollection, certainly when I've passed through it the last couple of weeks, there doesn't seem to be a huge usage of parking of vehicles on road in Broadway. Have we done any sort of investigation into how the usage is for people parking on the road, because obviously this will then prohibit the parking on the road if this goes through. But I don't think it's a major issue because, again, I've been going past there on my way home the last couple of weeks and I haven't found too many actually parking on the road itself.
Again, yeah, anecdotally, there isn't much parking. And also there is currently the bike path or the bike lane, which prohibits parking.
Yep.
So wouldn't change from the
time. Yep, thank you.
Can I just get some clarification as well? Because I remember when this first came to us and council's preference that we communicated to Department of Transport was that we would like there to be the tree boulevard style with separation. Can you remind me of the route? Because the plans we've got before us have none of that. It's just a separated path and looks very... there's a lot of concrete again. Can you remind me for the reason why that the first alternative that was our preference was abandoned?
Not why that was abandoned, but I could say that I think after that first meeting, PTA came back with plans that were presented, and at that stage those plans were adopted to proceed with and then move on to the community consult. And so the plans that have been developed now are very much in line with the plans that were adopted in May council meeting.
Mr. Carr, did you have any recollection of...
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
The initial discussions we had, they were thinking of spending $1 million and upgrading that area, developing garden and areas and beautifying the whole area up. In the coming months, the budget for that area had been cut, and council allocated $100,000. If at the time the council would allocate more, $500,000 to that project, it may have gone ahead to the initial discussions that were happening with mainland.
Okay, I thought that might be what we were going to say. So obviously we've got the Success Hill PSP that's going on at the moment as well, and there's some that's a little bit up in the air as to what the plans will end up being. I'm interested that if the plans for that section of PSP change to something that's not as costly, then potentially whether we could talk to the Department of Transport about investing some more money into the Broadway one so that we can get a better outcome like we originally were intending.
I would say so. They would be prepared to look at that. I know the discussions we've had 12 months back and recently, if the town would put more money in, then obviously there would be an opportunity to put...
That's not our money, though. It's their money.
The way it is, the conversation we had, they have not put any more money than the money being spent on it at the moment.
I just think it might be something worth keeping in the back of our mind with the discussions we're having with the Department of Transport. Sorry, Councillor Hamilton.
I did.
Are you okay, Kate?
Thank you, Kate.
So there's an embroidered wrap up on the wall you can do away with as well if you like.
No. Could you have a go at that one?
Okay, Councillor. Sorry. Just remember that we're recording sessions as well. Councillor Hamilton, you have a question?
Okay. Thank you for the interlude.
Does anybody else have a question?
No.
Do you have a question, Councillor Hamilton, that we're waiting for? Or? Yeah.
Don't worry.
No, you're okay?
When that's a question.
Okay. 6.4, the draft emissions reduction plan. Councillor Gadget.
Well, thank you, Worship. A whole page of things I love. Okay. So I know it's early days. But just wondering if we might get some advice on how our brand new electronic car charging station is going. Do we keep numbers or is some way to record how the usage is going there?
Yeah, so officers installed a meter which we can go and take how much kilojoules of energy it's being used.
Yes.
Also the company that provided the station, all of the energy gets sent to them via the internet, and they can send us printouts if we request it, telling us what times of day it's getting used the most, whereas our meter is just a straight straight, we can go and look how much energy and how much it's costing
yep.
us.
Mm.
They can give us a more detailed breakdown. We just have to request that and they'll send it to us.
Oh, okay. Are we going to have regular intervals, or we haven't decided at this stage, just to monitor how it's going?
I'll be monthly speaking to Patrick
very good.
To get an update and see how it's going in the initial stages, and then just on request.
Wonderful, thank you. So we're going to go through point by point, shall we? Just so I get an update on where we're at with all this exciting stuff. So the Switch Your Thinking program, resolved to promote the program to residents and the discounted solar, I don't even pronounce photo, whatever,
mm-hmm.
photovoltaic.
Solar panels.
Yeah, exactly. Systems. How are we going with that?
That hasn't happened yet, Councillor.
Oh, okay.
So we've only just recently joined Switch Your Thinking. And one of the things that is offered to members is a discount with certain providers. And I don't think we've promoted that to the community yet, really, have we, Jeremy?
The next Bassinane briefings, I believe it's...
Now it's
in that.
Okay.
So there's an article in that promoting the Switch Your Thinking program and how residents can take advantage of that.
So, Councillor Gandry, you might be aware there's been some discussions over the last little while about how we could incentivise solar, and some of the things that have come up was about doing bulk buy schemes and things like that, and the discussion in the Sustainability Committee was very much that because this program provides that service, that was an option that we'd be willing to support, as opposed to going down the track of doing bulk buy solar like has happened in some other places, and particularly because it's become a lot more affordable over recent years.
Yep, wonderful. Climate Clever program, $5,000. There was a session held on the 12th of November, and notes that the Switch Your Thinking subsidy will be made available to schools. So is that part of the $5,000 for the schools?
No.
So
the subsidy will go directly to the schools, and the town will be putting in the $5,000.
So when you're a member of Switch Your Thinking,
yes,
one of the
yes.
things that you're entitled to is a discount on that program. So I think it's normally $8 per student.
Yeah, thank
you. So with us providing... Sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah.
With us providing $5,000, that's a subsidy of 50% to the school, and then with being a member for Switch Your Thinking, we're offering it to the school to have a further $1, I think, per student. So
yeah,
a school would only have $3 to pay per student to be a participant.
Yep, very good.
Correct, Jeremy?
Yep, correct.
The community grants and projects, just wondering how we're going with the criteria for those funding opportunities.
The criteria will go to the next Sustainability Committee meeting in February 12th next year. So officers are working on that criteria based on what other local government authorities have been doing in that realm. And there'll be a report going to the Sustainability Committee next year.
Wonderful, thank you. And my final one, out of curiosity, how many worm farms have we subsidised in the town?
So that's a future for next year. That
hasn't
actually
happened
yet.
That's part of FOGO.
Yep.
We're going to give it to our worm farms.
No?
Yep.
I can comment on that too. So there'll be a workshop held on the 19th of February. It'll be a recycling... composting workshop that
Wonderful.
Residents will have to attend to be able to be eligible for the subsidy on a Bokashi compost or worm farm. They can choose one of the three. So officers are working on that now that we have a waste officer that's started. And it's going to be booked in for the 19th of February.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
And obviously the aim of that is to not only reduce waste, but to reduce the amount that we're paying in landfill that's being sent. Councillor Hamilton.
Following on from that last one, how are you promoting that course in February?
So we're producing a flyer at the moment. That flyer will be released through our Facebook, the Eastern Reporter, and on the town's webpage, and we will put it down at the shopping centre.
Is it worth including in the I've just lost the name of it. What's our recreation program?
Relax.
As a first term.
If you can
course.
Still make it into their program. Yep.
It's obviously too late for the Bassinet briefings.
Just so everybody else is part of the conversation, over dinner I asked Simon a couple of questions about the targets in the draft emission plan. So as I'm sure you've seen, we've got a target in there at the moment that's 26% to 28%. And I was asking Simon about whether it was possible for us to set the bar a bit higher, especially considering that that target is what's been set by our federal government and is considered to be inadequate or insufficient generally. And that, you know, we make the comment in there that we want to be a leader in reducing corporate carbon emissions. So I had a conversation with Simon about what it would mean if we were going to set the bar a bit higher. And Simon, would you mind just sharing what you said to me with the others?
Yes. First thing is that the council would need to make a determination as to what that target would they'd like to see. But if that was the case and you wanted to, you know, determine a higher standard, I would suggest that you recommend to or request that Town of Bassanine staff to be more ambitious, and there's a list of all the actions in the, within the plan, and then we could bring that back as part of the budget considerations. If council said, for example, they wanted to defer or refer this back to the Sustainability Committee, of course that's going to create further delays. So the next Sustainability Committee is February, and then there needs to be some conversation with them, and then there need to be some adjustments. By the time we did that, probably the budget period would be towards the end, and so you may have missed that opportunity for us to actually include funds into the budget. So I'd suggest, you know, maybe as part of a future council resolution. Oh, my apology. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Maybe as a suggestion that you could request that staff look at the project list and provide some input to the 2019-20 budget that's more ambitious.
Okay, and I understand the need for the budgeting direction for you. So what you're saying is we could potentially be more ambitious, set the target higher, but just give some clear direction around what items we want included in the budget for next year, so that
kick-start
the process.
Yes, that's fine. Okay. Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Quinton.
Can you refresh my memory, Jeremy? I thought that we had already conducted a review of the fleet of our vehicles. Whereas this says you're going to conduct a review. I thought that had already been done. Can you...
No official review has been done. I presented to the Sustainability Committee a couple of options that our current fleet company were offering. We hadn't gone through every vehicle for the town. We just looked at a couple of options and discussed it at the committee. But this review is more intensive on what vehicles we swapped out and going into more detail.
Okay. And just... wondering if we could strengthen up the language a bit and what that would mean for you guys in terms of incentives for staff to take on a hybrid or electric vehicle or to carpool or to catch public transport. Has there been some thinking around what staff could do in terms of that? Ken?
At the present time, we've got a policy in place that for our community use and our personal use of vehicles. That has to be restructured in a lot of ways. That process is currently underway, where we're getting the opportunity of looking at the different type of electric and hybrid vehicles that are available at the moment. There's about five or six that are available. We're looking at those for operational needs at the moment as well. And also in discussions with senior management, we're discussions on how we can transfer the opportunity, a different type of employment opportunities as we go along in that phase as well. So there is it's not an easy thing to say, yes, we'll be doing this straight away, because there's employment contracts in place, which obviously the central management team have to review and go through. From my point of view, I'm reviewing the whole plan structure. We're looking at operational vehicles and also working on the possibilities of what's available to work with staff if we cannot or can do, or how, what process how go ahead. So, yeah, that process is in place. It'll be more next year as all the new cars, new hybrids and new electrical cars come onto the market. At the moment, there's a number of them, but then we have to still go through the employment contracts and how we can process with that. So that's something for the central management team to...
Thank you, Ken. We might just give Peter the chance to address that as well.
Yeah, I have had a brief chat with Ken and certainly the directors about progressing a transition strategy. So certainly once we've made the commitment to certain targets, actually having a transition strategy to look at the opportunities to rationalise our fleet, but also the potential to look at hybrid vehicles over the period, so for both our service vehicles, but also any vehicles that might be attached to staff as well. So I think there's certainly a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah.
With some assistance out there as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering how we're measuring our current use of emissions with our current cars.
So the data for the fuel usage, because we have fuel sheets at the depot, gets collated and sent through to the EMRC, and they work out our fleet emissions from that.
Councillor Hamilton?
That's just what I was going to ask. The EMRC, I thought the EMRC had done a report on our fleet, so following on from Councillor Quinton's comments earlier, that's the report that I was thinking of as well, that there had already been a report about our fleet, but I haven't seen it, obviously. So do you have... Is that report relevant? Like, is this something the councillors should see?
Yeah, that report's been to the Sustainability Committee.
It's covered.
Yeah, would it be possible to re-forward that to Councillor Hamilton? Do you like that in the next week?
I was just curious. I don't recall it, so that's okay.
Thanks, Jeremy.
I've just got one more question about how are we advertising the location of our EV charging station?
So the EV charging station is advertised on the two most popular apps for people with EV vehicles. I forget them off the top of my head, apologies. It's also on Google Maps. We put it on our Facebook page and our web page.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
This is a curiosity question. Is there any comparison between how we're travelling or tracking in this space compared to other councils, or not really?
Do you mean in terms of our carbon reduction?
Yes.
The EMRC has advised the town that we are very progressive in regards to what we've achieved so far, and I believe that we're ahead of our game in regards to that area, so, which is pleasing to know.
So how do we see that information?
Our comparative information with the other member councils?
Yes.
I don't know. The MRC has got that information. We're a member. We've joined the Carbon Footprint Program, so I suppose we could request a copy of the other local authorities. But I think how many are in that? Is it Belmont, ourselves? I don't think Swan is in it.
If the carbon footprint has data from all different local governments, it doesn't necessarily need to be EMRC.
No.
It'd be good to...
Yeah, okay.
So that's planet footprint?
Yes, sorry, yes. Questions. Sorry. Councillor Quinton?
Yes. I just wonder if anyone had considered, or if there was any discussion around the town itself investing in a solar farm or any other renewable energy projects?
Investing in them? No, we haven't considered investing. But however, I might say that, you know, for example, our fleet, we allocate funding for trees and stuff like that, which is to assist in regeneration of bush areas, but nothing to do with it, like, for example, providing funding to a corporation to install at the state government, and there's federal government grant funding to do that.
Yep. And this is more of an HR question, so I'll direct it probably to the CEO. I wonder, what is the... When staff sign up, do they get a default superannuation company to apply to? Or is there a consensus about what kind of ethical superannuation funds staff could put their money into?
So staff can certainly exercise a choice. There is a local government... provider, which most staff tend to choose, but staff can exercise choice in that regard.
Do we know what that local government superannuation fund does in terms of investing in renewable energies and things like that?
No.
Jeremy's.
Someone's putting their hand up.
WA Super, and as of last year, if you go in to use a self-managing tool, there is a sustainable option if you want to invest in green energy. So that was added by WA Super last year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Excuse me.
Any further questions? Okay, 6.6, the River Parks Committee Instrument of Appointment and Delegation. I just have a clue, we've got an additional sheet on the desk here. Would somebody like to clarify what the difference is between this one and the original?
Yes, my apology. The other departments that were in there were prior to the state government making the changes to the government departments, and
right.
I didn't pick that up.
Okay.
But fortunately, one of our councillors did. And so, so thank you for that. And so, this is just simply an adjustment to
that. So, otherwise, it's identical.
Yes,
it's just the names of the departments. Councillor Hamilton.
obviously, this is because council has not nominated specific individuals for those government departments. However, I'm assuming that we would comply with the regulations if the individuals from those departments were actually named. Is that correct? Right. So given that the individuals who attend the River Parks Committee has become somewhat static now and stable, in that there were some changes, Glenn, when he left, and he was replaced by... Like, the government departments tend to actually nominate the same person to come to the River Parks each time, and if there's going to be a change, they tend to advise us, and then that new person takes over in that position, in that role. That's a fairly standard thing.
Maybe you could provide some clarification as to why this issue arose.
Yes. How this initially arose was that at the last committee... there was going to be a potential resolution from the committee to council recommending to acquire a piece of land, and the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage, the officer that they have sitting on that committee, is the manager of acquisitions and disposals of land. So obviously there's kind of an interest from that officer's or that government department's position to either acquire or dispose of land, and that person would then be sitting on the committee recommending to council to potentially take on that land. So there was I sought some clarification from the West Australian Local Government Association in regards to it, and as it turned out, this is how this issue arose. Well, that because council hadn't appointed the individuals, they'd only appointed said the positions to or the government departments to attend. And so this is how this whole situation came about. And the government departments indicated at the meeting that they really felt uncomfortable on occasions and having to make a vote when they may have a different opinion from the community representatives. And so they felt as though they would rather provide advice, and if the community representatives didn't take on board their position, that would be their decision. And then council would have to take on... to make a determination in the future about that resolution. So,
thank you, that's helpful. Councillor Hamilton?
Break that down into parts. My first question is, do not members of a committee at the beginning of the meeting declare if they've got an interest in a matter?
Yes, they would do.
Right, so if a member of the committee has an interest and they declare at the beginning of the meeting, then they actually don't take part in that voting.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
So that's actually not an issue.
No, so that's what I was saying. I was seeking some clarification in regards to the instrument of appointment and the issues associated with this particular issue.
So the second part of it... Actually, no, I'll leave that.
Any further questions? OK, Okay, 6.6, Sparks Early Learning Centre, risk mitigation options for the tree roots. So most of us were able to attend the site inspection earlier this evening. Councillor Gadgil.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I love how they come up with these costings for the trees. It's quite enlightening. Now, the one out the back, is that the $11,000 one? No, it's good.
Which tree are you talking about?
I don't know. If I know who I'm referring to, it's just trees. I thought I was referring to this.
Maybe Mr. Cardi.
Yes. Yep. So, I'm just wondering, I just noticed this scraggly one there. Is that the $11,000?
Yes.
One right there? Wow. I wasn't able to attend the site inspection, but certainly by the photo, it doesn't look too lush in life to me. I'm just wondering, without sort of going through the entire report here, would you know off the top of your head the estimated lifespan maybe that one has left in it?
Back in 2013, that's the last time I viewed that tree. It was in a condition, the arborist was in a condition, said it was a very healthy condition at that time. To say the length of the life of that tree was very hard, normally in a qualified arborist and living and getting the information back from the arborist saying that's a, I find it very hard to give you an exact time frame where a tree will live. So, but given the nature of the tree, it was in a healthy condition, and that's the information we can provide you at the stage.
So, Councillor Gage, before you continue, at the site inspection, there were two trees that were in question in the report, and in discussion with the lady who runs the childcare centre, it seemed that there was only really one that was problematic, and I'm not sure which one you're referring
to.
This
is the one out the back.
So which one is it?
The one out the back. The scraggly looking one.
Yeah, so while we were at the site inspection, there was a fairly general consensus that no, the tree did not look very healthy, and we were wondering how much lifespan it did have expected, because that would obviously have an influence on what the preferred course of action would be. Councillor Hamilton, do I see a hand?
Sorry, I just got further questions. Yeah, no, bear with me. I wasn't able to make the site inspection, unfortunately. So if I could just understand, what spaceage are we looking to give them in lieu of retaining the tree? Because we're obviously saying we'll extend their borders out. So in lieu of that, they can't use that space around the tree. What are we looking at extension for?
I'd have to hand this over to Mr. Hagger, who's responsible for the
That is one of the options that is being considered. What is proposed in the recommendation that if it is to be pursued, that those details would be sought, and we would bring that back subsequently.
Yeah. So what I'm just trying to ascertain. So if the fence line for the property, leased property in question, if that was extended to ensure that this tree was not an offending obstacle and potential liability risk, would that then be fenced to avoid people coming in the perimeter of the tree?
Absolutely. So part of the capital cost would be to fence it, but there are other issues that would need to be addressed there as well, including levelling the ground. There's quite a drop off at the fence line, so there'd be quite a bit of soil that would need to be brought in. There are other issues associated with that option as well. So we would need to look at the viability of that option indeed.
I very much got the impression at the site inspection that that was not really a preferred option even by the lessee.
Certainly the lessee had expressed that it was something that she would be happy to work with, but not her preferred option.
Councillor Hamilton?
For the benefit of Councillor Gangell, who wasn't at the presentation, could someone please explain the arborist report, which indicated that the water source around the base of the tree, there's no ability for the tree to get water, from what I understand. I think that's in the arborist report somewhere, because they've got this stuff going right up. So, is that correct? I guess the question is, could that potentially, if that was remedied, could that potentially improve the lustre of the tree, because I think at the moment it is suffering.
If we go back a couple of years to 2016, when the actual soft wall was placed around the tree, it wasn't, no permission was given to the owners of Sparks in those days to lay the soft wall around the tree. If it had been, we would have then requested that there were at least a couple of metres around the tree for water to access the tree. Unfortunately, that was not the case in those days, so the water has been denied a little bit to access through the tree through the soft wall at the time. It's a bit closer than what it should have been.
It's right up to the trunk.
Yeah.
So my next question is, okay, so you're saying that the soft wall was put in 2016?
I don't. When I looked at it, I started looking at
2016. And the lady this afternoon indicated that these roots only started to come up in the last 2 years, which tends to be an indication of lack of water. It's searching for more water. So, potentially, if the tree was in good health when you last saw it, there is the potential for remedial action to actually return the tree to good health.
I believe so, yes.
Right, okay. And they didn't get permission to put that soft wall down?
Not in, that I've been investigating and seen in between first-hand discussions.
That's interesting. Plus, there's also soft wall in the other play area further back, which looks newer, so that's possibly been put down more in the last, after 2016.
I believe that was discussed with the recreation
manager. Perhaps I could add to that. My understanding is that the soft fall was put down prior to the lessee purchasing the business and council assigning the business to her, and that was some 7 years ago. So I believe the soft fall has been in place for a number of years now, probably about 10 years at least. As to whether or not permission was provided at the time, I'd have to take that on notice and find out.
Could you please, because that's really interesting, because I don't think we have any idea of when it was put in. Really.
I'm happy to investigate that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get some clarity around if we are going to maintain the tree and provide some gardening and stuff, who exactly is going to pay for that?
The town.
Can I get... Thank you, Councillor Gangell. I didn't realise you were a staff member now.
So as the tree is considered a fixture, it would be a lessor's responsibility, but the playground itself is the lessee's responsibility.
All right, so now we're getting into grey area, right?
Exactly.
So if we're going to build garden on top of the roots to protect the roots and the kids and the staff... When does it become playground and when is it staff's responsibility if we're building play structure over the roots?
Because it would be, it's the roots that are the offending, that would be part of our responsibility. So if we're looking for a solution as a consequence of the roots, then we would bear that responsibility.
So, Councillor Gantry, just to clarify, what Councillor Clinton was talking about was an option that potentially could put garden bed over the roots that are problematic or play structures. So that wouldn't be fenced in that case. But there were issues because the only access to the site is in a similar location to where the problematic roots are. So in terms of being able to use that space for another purpose, whether it's a playground or a garden bed, it then creates an obstacle for accessing the site with, you know, vehicles for doing maintenance and all those kind of things.
So, considering we've got to make a decision on this next week, and it is very short on financial costings of what all the rearranging may potentially cost the town, will we have any indication for next week's council meeting about what cost implications could be to council before we make a decision?
Well, if we adopt the officer recommendation, the recommendation is to then proceed to acquire the costings.
But that doesn't really solve... The officer recommendation doesn't actually solve the issue, because that's ongoing then. The issue, I believe, is also there's already been a claim that's been made, so I would think it would be more of an immediate issue, not dependent on a budget review, or then even pushing it out. If it's extravagant, you'll actually push it out to 2019, 2020. So that's why I think it's just important to have some indication of what it's likely cost.
I think it's fair to say that if we are to be looking at an extension to the playground area, so if we're looking at increasing the footprint of the lease, that will result in a substantial cost to the town.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is everybody happy? Councillor Brown?
when I got there, I was appalled at the location of the tree and the soft floor. You know, it goes right up to the trunk of the tree. I mean, any backyard garden will tell you it's not an ideal location. The tree suffering, obviously, as a consequence of that. The soft pool consists of three layers of petrochemical material. No matter that's permeable, the water goes down through it. It can't be good for the tree. So is part of the solution to save the tree and remove that soft pool and create an area of normal vegetation around the trunk of the tree? Is that part of the solution?
Yes, certainly that is an option, and in fact it's one of the options that has been recommended by the arborist for removal of part of the soft fall. And I think it's on page 35 of the agenda under the first option from the arborist. Can I say that at the time that the soft fall was installed, the legislation for childcare was quite different to what it is now, and practice was also quite different. It was very much a risk-averse business model. The model now is much more about natural play environments and adventure play, and it much more lends itself to bark chips and a natural environment than was the case, I believe, when the soft floor was installed.
Councillor Hamilton? Sorry, then you,
Councillor Quintel. Sorry. Whilst I was on site, I did note what the leasee said about wanting vehicular access to that spot. I also went and saw the site in the weekend and noticed that they drive their vehicle in there, their bus, and lock it up. However, and when I suggested that perhaps we could move the park at outside, she said that the car parking is quite full, they don't want to do it there. However, there appears to be enough space between the car parking on the left and the existing gates to perhaps relocate the gates across where the poinsettia bush is, take that out, and she could possibly get new gates and a driveway in there, which is past the difficult route section. So that, I don't know if you would consider looking at that as a potential, and that means we can then attend to the root section without too many problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I say that attending to the roots as a solution by maybe shaving them or removing the surface roots is only ever going to be a temporary solution, though, because it will recur.
I think Councillor Hamilton was saying other strategies potentially,
yes.
So not
yeah.
necessarily the shaving, but planting garden or that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's
over
what I'm thinking. I actually,
yes.
Sorry, our mayor did also float the idea of potentially doing some, I don't know,
some mounded landscaping.
Yes, some molded landscaping. Yes. So, you know, I'm not sure that. Because we only just saw the site today, I'm not sure that we've actually got our head around what things can be done. So I think what I'm asking for is if staff have any other solutions, we'd love to hear them.
Okay. So I think in the report the officer has, or Salvatore has included a number of options that have been presented both by the risk assessment and also by the arborist. And he's proposing that we investigate more deeply a couple of those options.
It seems to me those options are very arbor, you know, orientated, as opposed to looking at the whole site, which is what Councillor Hamilton's proposing.
Yes, yeah. The driveway, because she was so concerned about the driveway, if that can be moved over slightly, I think perhaps we have more potential, but I'm not sure.
Councillor Quinton, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah, just was around timing again. Sorry, I've lost my shoe.
The daycare is obviously going to close for the Christmas break, so any works that need to be done are probably going to have to be done within that short time frame, because daycares generally only close over the 2 weeks of the Christmas period. So if works have to get done and trees have to be removed or gardening has to be done, what time frame are we looking at to do that?
Yes, that is the most desired period to undertake such works within a childcare environment. It is possible to get exemptions from licensing requirements for temporary exclusion areas and so on, if works are required to be done outside of closure periods, though.
Mm.
But it's less desirable, of course.
Mm.
Okay. Happy?
Just one more question to the officer. Just out of curiosity, considering the potential substantial cost that the recommendation, that with by the way, has no real costing provided for council, but a substantial costing as quoted tonight to the ratepayer. Just wondering why this option is recommended rather than considering the state of the tree as well. I think. All agreed, including the mayor tonight, that it was in an unsavoury condition, the tree. Why this option, the most costly option, was presented to council?
I suspect that the officer in writing the report was cognizant of council's position in terms of trees retention.
Okay, overrates. Thank you.
Okay. 6.7, annual report for the 2018. Thank you, Mr. Carney, for being here. Questions?
Just in the mayor's report, the annual report, I may be wrong, but in the last paragraph, state government is capitalised in the second line, but on the subsequent reference to state government, it's not capitalised.
Are you picking or are you, Councillor Brown? Where are we?
The last paragraph in the annual report.
Yeah. The very last paragraph of the whole
very
report.
Very last paragraph.
You're talking about my report. So is it page three?
The state government's land use planning is capitalised, and the challenge is responding to the state government's requirement. I could be wrong, but it's just capitalised one in the first measure, second one. And the second paragraph on the next page, complementing this work, the town finalised a new relocation action plan, and which reflected. Perhaps it should be which reflected.
Great.
Just don't read to the end there. Perfect.
And the second last paragraph on page three as well. It says we're currently in the process of developing a comprehensive waste, and it says objectives for the town. I should say waste strategy for the town.
So
I had a query about it's page 10. Just let me find it. It's talking about partnering with community groups. I just thought there were probably more examples that we could use. Like, for example, one of the significant things that's happened in that period is the Eden Hill Community Network has really supported them. Did that commence before the 30th of June? I sometimes get just after that, was it?
No, it was after.
Yeah. There was also a reference to the Dudley Robinson Youth Centre as being a major achievement on page 10. I just can't find where that is now. I wasn't sure that was referring to. Do you know what I'm...
The formal name of the youth centre.
Yes, but it says major achievement. The Dudley Robinson Youth Centre and adjacent skate park provide a cohort-specific space for young people to gather. So there wasn't anything particularly new about that. It was just the ongoing achievement of providing that service. Is that
right? That's correct, that it acts as a hub.
Okay. I just wanted to flag on page 12, it refers to the Avalon Descent and under the major achievements for... I just wanted to flag that we had said we wanted to have a discussion around that for future, I guess as well. Page 17 refers to the Disability Access and Inclusion Plan. And the last paragraph says the town maintains an action, whatever it is, access and inclusion plan. Is that technically correct for that period?
Yes, it is, and so is the committee at that time.
I thought our plan had been was out of date.
The plan was for a 5-year period from 2012 to 17, but remained the current plan, so it remained in force.
Okay. And so one more question. There's the section on page 48 about complaints. I'm just wondering what the definition of a complaint is in the annual report.
It's the there's a complaint registered that the CEO Bob Jarvis kept at that time. I don't know which ones they were, but generally complaints either about an officer or a councillor.
Okay, so it's that was really my question about what the definition was, because obviously there are people that contact us from time to time and have got complaints about various matters. So it's specifically if it's a complaint about a staff member or an elected member or something. Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Out of curiosity, is the complaints register supposed to be publicly available?
It is available.
On request.
On request, yeah. So can we put it on the website?
No.
What are the rules governing that with the Local Government Act? Is there anything that says it's supposed to be publicly available or not? I'm not sure.
Someone could come to the counter and say, can I have a look at your complaints register? Yes. Do we make it publicly available? No.
Okay. And do councillors get a, a quarterly or an annual update on this complaints register? Or do we have to, like the public, go hunting for it?
If you would like a copy of the complaints register, we're happy to provide it.
Okay. So it's not generally made available to us even annually?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's also an exciting private issue.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a question? I can't find it.
So while Councillor Hamilton's thinking of a question, so we've got a date set for the annual general meeting of electors where this would present to the community, and that's in February, I believe. Is that correct?
Fifth of February.
And you're going to be on leave for some of that time, but I appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you or Ken, who's filling in for you or Peter.
I'll be there at night.
I mean in advance.
Oh, okay.
And if councillors aren't aware yet, the plan at this stage is to potentially have a community barbecue in advance of that annual general meeting of electors this year, which would be some other things in place to try and give people the opportunity to present their questions in advance so that we can prepare answers for them and give them the details that they're looking for on the night. Any other questions? Okay, 6.8, principal building surveyor. No? 6.9, development services.
Just a general question of demolition waste. Do we work with a specific contractor, or is it just come and take what you want in terms of, I mean, how do we process our demolition waste?
The town of Pasadena's demolition waste or private demolition waste?
Private.
I don't actually deal with the private demolition waste. So
no.
Who would employ contractors?
They just do their own?
Yep. It's not governance, or somebody would just get out of the yellow pages a demolition contractor and they would deal with the waste as they'd wish.
Councillor Hamilton?
So we obviously do have a lot of demolitions on this list. Is there anything in our town planning scheme that requires the applicant for demolition to dispose of their demolition waste in a sustainable way or not?
It's not covered by the town planning scheme. So it's a demolition permit and it's just about demolishing a house generally. The town would not have any regulation.
It's state legislative.
Yeah, and I doubt if we'd be able to.
The only reason I ask is because when councillors are taken on these tours of demonstration projects like White Gum Valley, we're shown how demolition can be reused and we're shown best practice. So I'm curious about whether there is any best practice that we may be able to incorporate into our town planning scheme in any way, shape or form.
To incentivise a community.
Yes, yeah.
We need to think about that.
Okay. Good question. Any other questions on this item? Okay, so we've got a few notices of motion. Just quickly give people a chance to ask the staff. So we've got Councillor Quinton's notice of motion about the street doctor.
Do you mean permanent structure or semi-permanent?
Well, looking at options, because when I spoke to them, they were happy with a temporary option.
Set up, set down type.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're going to spend money on cafe blinds that are temporary, that's just going to be a waste of money every winter. So potentially looking at roller doors or something. I don't know.
Oh, on the outside of the toilet, is it?
Yeah, yes, so you know, you've got, and then you've just got the poles.
Yep.
So just all they wanted was one side, or at least both sides.
Mm.
And then even a little cupboard to put a fold-up table and chair and whatever. That's when I spoke to them, but of course the staff would need to consult with them as well.
Okay, Councillor Quinton's second motion, 7.2, the Early Childhood Australia campaign. Councillor Gangell's 7.3,
yes,
the CCTV.
Thank you, Your Worship. Can I just ask, I don't know if I don't think I did. It might have been remiss of me. The lady who contacted me asked for the CEO. I think she spoke with you. Was I can't remember her surname.
Anthea.
That's it.
Yeah,
she,
to her a few times.
She was keen to get a meeting with yourselves and the police as well. So I just wanted to flag that.
Councillor Mikachuk.
Yeah, on that, can I just ask for the rationale or background behind that motion, just not being aware of?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Details.
Yes, look, a few weeks ago I had a call from, and I do apologise, not remembering her surname right now, but former resident Anthea from the town.
Borg.
Miss Borg, looking for the town of Bassendean. I said I was a single councillor, if I could help. So she had a chat to me regarding the issues that they have at the Pickering Park area. She was concerned that there's a lack of lighting and surveillance there, particularly in the evening, that she was keen to get the town to follow up. She hadn't had great success at that stage, so I said to her that I would raise the issue and put a motion on council. I did also make her aware that regardless of what lighting there is at the boat ramp, there will always be elements, problematic elements potentially, because a lot of it is just shrub and bushland there in any case, which will continue to be unlit. But anyway, that's how it eventuated.
So I'd just like to follow up with the staff because Anthea had contacted me about this previously as well, and I communicated with Mr. Stuart Dawkins about it a couple of times. And I'd spoken to Ms. Borg about the fact that there's funding for CCTV and so on, but it's dependent upon police reports of incidents, and had spoken to her and her neighbours about the need to report to get that data up to make it a priority site, because obviously we get a lot of requests for CCTV and lighting at various points throughout the town. At that stage there hadn't been any data for that location. Would it be possible to follow up between now and the meeting with the local police to see if that has been highlighted as a particular area of concern?
Yes, through the chair, yeah.
That'd
oh, through the chair, yes.
Thank you. 7.4, Councillor Hamilton's change of permitted use of properties.
Yes. You're going to have to explain it to me.
As in the rationale or what she's proposing?
As in what she's proposed,
right.
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, permitted uses, it's better to be looking in advance to try and ascertain if a permitted use is appropriate or not, rather than as a responsive action to development applications. Now, recently we had a development application for a petrol station cum convenience store on Walter Row, and that went to JDAP, and the JDAP meeting was actually held in this room late last month. It was refused. However, the reasons put forward from the JDAP members for that refusal fairly clearly indicated that the site was somewhat unsuited to that permitted use. So, and that's in my background information that I've provided.
So it's not the convenience store, it's the sale of petrol that Councillor Hamilton's referring to in particular.
But the permitted use for the shopping centre sites does allow for convenience store with the ability to sell petrol. Now, that's because the state government have changed some of the categories. So rather than being a reactive council that just responds to these things when they come through to us as a development application, I'm proposing that the staff be proactive and look at these sites that are categorised in that way to ascertain if these uses are viable or not.
So I don't really have an issue. The part that I have an issue with is part two, request staff to review and commence the process of changing the permitted use of property zone town centre. We're not actually getting a
prohibit.
Yeah, but we're not getting a report back though. So
you would
this
prefer
is
the review and then it come back
well,
to
I
council
like to know what the
and then the
yes,
staff to
right.
once it's come to council.
Yes.
That
yeah. Otherwise, I'm voting on something I don't have a full understanding and background of.
Okay. I actually thought the town centre.
Just make sure it's questions at this stage.
Yes, I'm not entirely sure that that would need to come back to council because I'm not entirely sure that we would want a petrol station in the town centre.
Well, we don't want a petrol station in Eden Hill either, so yours doesn't cover the Eden Hill.
Yes, it does. The point one is for all areas outside of the town centre.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And point two is for the town centre.
Okay.
That's why it's actually, it's exactly the same wording.
Oh, okay.
But because we've got two different categories.
But personally, I'll prefer to receive a report back that outlines
that. Can I just get some clarification from you, Mr. Reid? So if this was to be supported by council and there was a change of use to prohibit that land use, what land use, or sorry, let me try and rephrase that. If we still want to allow convenience stores, but not the sale of petrol, what would it be rezoned as? Or what?
I would say that a convenience store, this is some smart, by definition, includes the sale of petrol.
So say, for example, the little delis.
A deli is not a convenience. A convenience store.
A deli is not a convenience store.
A convenience store, by definition, includes the sale of petrol.
Right, so what's the definition of a deli?
A deli.
Well, it's a shop or a delicatessen. And I think the intention behind this is for me, and presumably we will come back with draft scheme amendment documents for council endorsement, looking at the permissibility of those uses within the local shopping zone and the town centre zone. And so it won't be a staff decision.
Yeah. So that would address
council whether or not it wishes to initiate a scheme amendment, presumably making convenience stores a next use, a permitted use of the local shopping zone, and generally because the local shopping zones are kind of constrained, close to residential properties, it's going to have problems with the buffer, and one would have to ask whether or not, with what we're trying, what council, what we are trying to achieve in the town centre, do you want a convenience store park in there selling petrol?
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Just to further answer Councillor Gangell's question, I did seek some dialogue with the planning staff in this respect, and because the process can be quite long and drawn out, that's why I put and commence. However, I possibly would be amenable to changing or deleting that. So it's simply to get the ball rolling.
Well, it just needs to be review and commence for council's consideration, the process
yes.
of changing the permitted blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
there is a timeline thing, so that's why we that's why it was worded that way.
Okay. All right, so we've only got item 8 left, which is confidential business, so maybe Mr. Foswell, you could turn off the recording.